You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We begin today with an anniversary of sorts. Not a precise date thing, more like a, it's been a year thing. 1 year this month since the Fed started raising interest rates. 2 years, give or take, since we started talking about rate increases in the face of what was at the time being called, I'm sure you remember, transitory inflation. And as we all know, a lot has happened in this economy since then. So as we do sometimes, especially when the economic news is moving kind of fast, we've asked Marketplace's Kristen Schwab to slow us down for a second and take stock of where we are.
Remember the olden days, like 2 years ago, when everyone talked about inflation like it was a fleeting moment in time? Lawrence Ball is an economist at Johns Hopkins.
There were a lot of people ranging from Jerome Powell all the way down to me who dismissed this as a transitory blip that would soon go away.
The T word, transitory, was not the name of the game. But Ball says even though inflation remains sticky,
it doesn't look as though we've gotten into this pernicious spiral of inflation's high, so it's expected to stay high.
That's what happened during the 1970s, the great inflation period that lasted almost two decades. Sebastian Malaby is an economist at the Council on Foreign Relations.
So in that sense, a year is not very long. It's long compared to other bouts of raising interest rates.
Malaby's talking about the mid-90s, around the year 2000, and again around 2005, when inflation rates were both lower and less widespread. And Anil Kashyap, an economist at the University of Chicago, says the Fed dealt with the problem differently.
The Fed was more preemptive. You know, there was like 2 years where every meeting they boosted the interest rate by 25 basis points.
He says this time around, the Fed wanted to see inflation to believe it and not cool the economy too quickly after COVID and its supply chain snarls.
I think we're paying a little bit of a price for that now. I think we'll be talking about this next year as well.
That would bring us to 3 years of inflation, an anniversary that seems pretty solid, but in the grand scheme of inflation history, doesn't exactly qualify as a long-term relationship. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
The Bank of England said this morning it's raising interest rates over there a quarter of a percentage point, just like the Federal Reserve did yesterday. And if you have noticed in days past that a lot of central banks tend to do a lot of things in coordination with one another, they do. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has the whys and the hows.
There are different levels of global central bank coordination. When everything is hunky-dory, the world's central bankers just keep in touch. David Wilcox is a senior economist at the Peterson Institute for International Economics and at Bloomberg Economics.
In normal times, there's lots of ordinary information sharing.
But these, of course, are not normal economic times.
When financial markets are more turbulent, there's a second level of coordination, and that involves these swap lines.
Swap lines. That's where the U.S. swaps dollars for other countries' currencies. At the beginning of this week, the Fed announced it would hold these swaps every day instead of weekly. Ann Owen, a former Fed economist now at Hamilton College, says during times of financial stress, like now, people turn to dollars. And the Fed wants to be sure there are plenty to go around because
people are very, very anxious about the possibility that there could be more bank runs if people believe that banks are not able to meet their short-term obligations.
Now, during the 2008 financial crisis, the Fed went to level three, coordinating interest rates with other countries. The Fed does all this because in a global economy, it can't meet its goals of low inflation and maximum employment alone. Robert Sacken is another former Fed economist, now at Citigroup.
It really benefits the Fed if trade flows aren't interrupted and if other countries don't experience financial stability issues, because those have a high risk of coming back and hitting the U.S. economy.
Sacken says ideally the outcome of all this coordination is avoiding financial drama, so all the central bankers can do their jobs. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.